Good morning, everybody. How lovely. When you're sitting here, you know, you don't know how many people are behind you, so it's lovely to see all your faces out there. When I look around, some of you, like myself, might be old enough to remember a programme called Listen with Mother. Okay, now this morning is Listen with Grandmother. And the programme used to say, "Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin." See, some of you remember that. Kathy remembered it. Then I'll begin. So this morning, I just want to begin just to quiet you all down with this little poem. Have I got the little poem up there? It's John Masefield. "I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky. And all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. And the wheels kick and the wind's song and the white sails shaking. And a tiny mist on the sea's face, and a grey dawn breaking." Are you all asleep? Because I have to listen with Mother, the children all went to lie down. But I'm going to stop you there. You're not allowed to go to sleep. I've lulled you into a sense of peace. Did we see the next slide? What about that sea? That will wake you up, wouldn't it? That sea, that picture was taken in the village where Jack and I used to live, in this enormous storm. One day it was calm, and the next day it was absolutely just like that. And the parts of the harbour wall broke down because the sea, although it can be beautiful, like John Masefield described it, but it can be like that. Powerful. Terrifying. You wouldn't want to be standing near that harbour wall when that was happening. So, as we continue looking at our series, Knowing Jesus Through the Gospel of Mark, this morning the sea and stormy seas form the backdrop of what I'm going to say. But that's not the point of my message today. And the message isn't about us, although we may be the subplot. But the message today is all about Jesus. And thank you, worship band, because you did that beautifully. We sang about Jesus. And my title this morning is Son of Man, Son of God. So let's start by looking at Mark chapter 4. We're reading from verses 35 to 41. "That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the wind broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Jesus had been speaking to the crowds in parables about things about the kingdom of God. You know, he said things like, "The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like." So he'd been explaining those things to them. And he must have been exhausted. Can you imagine the scene? Crowds gathered around him, pushing him, not like you, you're very civilised, but they'd be pushing him, they'd be pushing him, pulling him, maybe some were even heckling him. You know, what's he talking about? I won't allow that this morning. What's he talking about? Who is this man? Who does he think he is? And others were there trying to catch him out. Did you hear what he just said? Sadducees, Pharisees, they're listening to every word, trying to catch him out. Can you imagine the pressure that Jesus would feel? That's emotionally tiring as well as physically tiring, just being there speaking for so long. And this is when we need to remember that at this time, Jesus is fully man. I think we forget sometimes, Jesus is fully man. He has feelings. He can be hurt. He can be hurt by his friends betraying him, his friends saying things. He's got emotions and he's got weariness just like we do. And he's called the Son of Man. because he is fully human. He's a human being born like one of us. Mary gave birth to a human child. And you know, Jesus behaved in that way in this scene, just like we would behave. He's come from this mass of people and he needs somewhere now to go and chill. Don't you want to do that sometimes? Just get out of here, go and chill. And that's what Jesus says. He says to his disciples, let's get out of here, let's find somewhere to chill. So off they go in a boat. Now remember, some of them are experienced sailors. They know these waters. So they had no qualms about going on this sea crossing. But it was evidently not the best time of day to go on this, across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee evidently was noted for these squalls which suddenly happened and could end up in disaster, even death. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. And there are deep ravines coming from Mount Hermon and the Galilean hills with the snow on the north there. And as these things, the cold air comes down and so hot air, midday, hot air rises and the storms happen. And suddenly, this magnificent sea, like John Masefield's poem, become like my sea on that wall. This wind whips up a storm. And this combination causes devastating problems. Evidently, David Pawson tells me that there are rules even today about taking small boats out on the Sea of Galilee at certain times of the day. Now, I haven't been there, so I can't verify that, but a commentary of David Pawson's was saying that you can't go in, even today, you can't go on there. It's too dangerous at certain times of the day. But these fishermen on board had no fear because they were used to going on this sea. So they set off. Rowing, remember, they didn't have an outboard motor. This is all physically hard work. So they're rowing across this sea. But they weren't worried about it because they were used to it. Jesus had no fear because Jesus always trusted the Father. He knew wherever he went, Father God was with him. Keep that in mind. He always had faith, Father was with him. Do I always have faith? Father is always with me. Do you always have faith? Father is with you. So Jesus slept off his exhaustion. His humanity was evident. He just hunkered down, blanket over him, in this boat, and slept soundly. He was so trusting that he could just sleep soundly, whatever was going on around him. There are contradicting emotions here, aren't there, and reactions. In this stormy sea, there's either faith or this fear. I could have explored that theme today, but I'm not going to. So here we see Jesus, fully man, trusting God. Here we see the disciples, fully men, doubting and being afraid. And the lesson for us, in tricky situations, is our default state to go into paralyzing fear? Or do we put our fear down and behave like Jesus, the Son of Man, who said, no, I trust my dad. I trust Abba Father. Where do we go? Faith or fear? So as the passage moves on, we read about three rebukes. The first one is a rebuke to Jesus. Have we done that? Have we felt we can rebuke Jesus? Do we blame Jesus? Let's see what they did. Don't you care that we're perishing? Jason Meyer, in the book that we're looking at as we study this Mark Gospel, says it could be put a different way. You could say, you do care that we're perishing, don't you? You do care. So there's an element of doubt. You know, I'm hoping that you care, Jesus, but I'm not really sure. There's a level of trust, but a greater level of insecurity and uncertainty. So maybe we're the same. We trust God up to a point, but then the doubt comes in. Jesus wasn't pretending. He really was asleep. He was in a deep sleep. And they're saying, you're sleeping, don't you care about us? So there was a veiled rebuke there, rebuking the Son of Man. The second rebuke is Jesus rebuking the storm with simple words of authority. It doesn't mess about. He just says, peace, be still. Simple as that. Evidently, the words that Jesus uses are like when you speak into a puppy and you say, sit down. So Jesus was saying to puppy, the storm, sit down. And like the puppy, the storm abated. Now you might be asking, how could Jesus do that when he was fully man? Well, the answer is simple. He could do it because he knows who the Father is. He knows where the power is. So it's not in his own strength. He's doing this in the strength of God through the Holy Spirit. And the implications there for us that do we have the faith to calm a storm? We're fully human. Jesus was fully human at this time. And he said we would do the things he did, even greater things than he did. So how's your having a go, shall I say, at calming a storm in your life? I can give you an example. When that storm was happening, Jack and I had gone into a little town called Tain. It was Easter, and we were going with a few churches, and we were handing out hot cross buns. And it was lovely, you know, we're doing all that, very nice meeting people, hot cross bun, a group of people worshipping, little preach, very nice. Set off back to our house, go into our village, and we see water coming into the street. And we're going along, as we approached our house, we see more water coming towards our street. Now, I have to say, our house, if I'm standing here, the sea was where the sound box is there. We were so close to the sea. And the waves were enormous. And it was lapping up on the street here, and it was going there. So Jack and I went and stood in our sun lounge, which looked out onto our little garden. Then there was a wall about that height. And we stood and we said, storm, waves, you dare not. In the name of Jesus, come higher than that. And we stood and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the water kept approaching and going back. At the side here, it was going up a street, and it went past our house. That side, it went past our neighbour's house, and it never got above there. Every house in our street, apart from two, were flooded. Ours wasn't flooded. God sent the waves away. Down the street, we had a lovely couple, Dawn and whatever he was called, I can't remember his name. They were doing the same, lovely Christian couple we used to meet with every week. They were standing at their window, commanding this storm to go away. Their house wasn't flooded. I don't want to sound triumphalist because we were also praying for our neighbours. We weren't saying, save me, Lord, and let them perish. We weren't saying that. We were saying, Lord, let this damage not happen. But it didn't come over that wall. And we just praise God. So we have to live out what we believe. It's a simple example. But, you know, storms in life, it doesn't have to be the waves. We all have storms. What do we do with our storms? Do we pray, storm, you can't come near this house because I'm a child of God. He's bigger than you and he's going to be in my boat and my situation. And then the third rebuke is to the disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So Jesus equates being fearful with having no faith. And he's saying, why can't you trust? Where's your faith gone? And I think, does Jesus ask me the same question? Does Jesus ask you the same question? Where is your faith? Why are you fearful? Does my faith, does your faith withstand the storms of life? Or does fear cause unbelief in my heart? So those were the three rebukes. The disciples' reaction is fascinating. How would I feel in that boat? I've just witnessed a miracle. Jesus subduing nature. You'd think I'd be jumping for joy. We were jumping for joy, weren't we, Jack, when the waves went that way? We were jumping, praising God, leaping around our house, praising God. And yet these people are not doing that. They feared exceedingly. Before they feared, now they fear exceedingly. So having witnessed a miracle, their fear hasn't gone. It's increased. They feared Jesus. What a strange thing to fear Jesus. But really, it wasn't Jesus the man. It was the supernatural That's what they were afraid of. Where there should have been wonder, praise, awe, astonishment, they were fearful. I think we have to question ourselves. If Jesus does something amazingly supernatural, how would you respond? If something happened in here this morning which was totally supernatural, how would we respond? Would we leap about praising God, or would we cower in fear? I'll leave you that question. So, as we leave the first passage behind, I move on to the second storm. I just want to reiterate Jesus' humanity. Jesus sacrificed so much to become like us. If you think about it, Jesus was seated on a heavenly throne. He was there with his family. He was with Father, himself, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, he chose to leave all that behind. He left his family, the Trinity. And he came to earth as a man so he would experience the things that we as human beings experience. But the phrase hints at something else, Son of Man. Daniel 7 refers to a heavenly figure like a Son of Man. So there's a hint that Jesus is fully human, but there's a hint of something special about him. Mark 2, verse 10 declares that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. But Jesus is still man. He hasn't yet claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah. So he's functioning as a human being, even though he was the one who created the heavens and the earth. He was a man like us. He was a human being. But there was that hint of divinity which he starts to reveal. And we'll see him start to reveal that into our second stormy sea. So if we look at Mark 5, verse chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up to a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. When they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Hard hearts again. We keep hearing that, don't we? Mark's gospel is full of immediatelys. Immediately did this, immediately. Mark seems to race through events, and we see that in these first chapters. Race through. Towards the end of Mark's gospel, things slow down. As we get closer to the cross, things slow. We don't get the immediatelys. It slows down to the pinnacle of when Jesus dies for us, where the man dies and goes back to being the Son of God. But we see these immediatelys here. Jesus had miraculously just fed 5,000 people. He was eager to get away. Again, the crowds were there pressing on him. He was weary. But he wanted also to find a quiet place to get back in touch with Father. Get his faith back there, his relationship back there. And sometimes when we're busy, we need to find that space to get our relationship back, get back into the zone with our Father. But you know, sometimes Jesus had to go away for security reasons. I think we forget that. Jesus wasn't safe. If you look on this map, he was surrounded by enemies. The Romans under Pontius Pilate were afraid Jesus might take over. Herod Antipas, who was a puppet ruler, he was out to get Jesus. Philip the Tetrarch, son of Herod the Great, he was out to get Jesus. The Greeks were in Decapolis, out to get Jesus. The Jewish rulers, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, Sadducees, all out to get Jesus. Galilee was surrounded by enemies. And sometimes Jesus had to get away from these people for his own safety. They were all aware of him. For different reasons, they feared his rising popularity. The Jewish leaders didn't like him because he was going to overtake their power, their structures, and they would be out of a job. The foreign powers around, they all wanted rid of Jesus because people wanted to make him king. And again, there would be an uprising. Jesus would take over. They would be taken from their positions of power. And the passage we're reading now is probably one of these situations where Jesus had to get away. He'd fed the 5,000. There were people listening out to get him. And the rulers all around him were all there. And they wanted to get him, to imprison him, do whatever with him, just get him out of the way. So Jesus takes himself off quietly to a mountainside and sends his disciples off. He hadn't abandoned them. He took himself off and watched them go off in the boat. But Jesus was on a hilltop, and as they go off into the boat, he can see them. He's watching, and he sees that they're struggling. It was the middle of the night. Imagine what they felt like, again in this storm, in the middle of the night. It's dark, it's just black. But Jesus saw the danger. You know, often when we're struggling, we forget that Jesus can still see. Jesus always sees what's going on in our lives. And we may be struggling, but we have Jesus there who watches and is ready to step in. Have you ever asked, "Where are you, Lord?" I have. You're in a difficult situation. Where are you, Jesus? Where? I can't see where you are in this. But be assured, his promise is that he will be with us always. And so Jesus was watching them. He wasn't in the boat, but he was very aware of what was going on. He's ever present. But the good thing is also, when he sees, he acts. He doesn't just say, "Oh, look at that lot struggling over there." Yeah, that's fun. He sees. And he goes and he acts to help them. How does he do this? He comes down from the mountain and he sets off walking on the sea. Amazing, isn't it? He's walking on the sea. It's the quickest route, isn't it? Just walk across the sea. Have you tried that, walking on the sea? I don't think many. I've certainly not tried it. I've seen people try to go on lilos and walk across those, across pools, but not walking on the sea. But Jesus walked across the sea. And then we read he was going to pass them by. Now that's a bit strange. What's going on there? He's going to pass them by. There's lots of thoughts on it. Some people even say he was having a joke with them. You know, "Hi guys, just passing by, leaving you there." No, he wasn't joking. He was going to pass by. We've seen that before. In the Old Testament, if you remember, God passed by Moses and he passed by Elijah. So they didn't see his face, but they saw him walking past. They saw his glory. And this is a similar situation. He was walking past. They could see his glory from behind, but couldn't see his face. He must have looked different, because the passage says they didn't recognize him. Now, you know, if Tony walked down there and saw Tony's back, I'd know it was Tony. But they didn't know it was Jesus. So there must have been something different as he walked on this water. Exodus 33, says, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." In 1 Kings it says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" So it's not unusual, Jesus passing by. We've seen it before. So he looked different. And again, how did they react? They were terrified again. They're always terrified, these poor disciples. They were fearful. And Jesus spoke to them. He said, "Take courage. It is I." Now that phrase, he actually said, and I've probably got the pronunciation wrong, "ego I me," can also mean "I am." Do you remember the divine name, exactly as God had said to Moses in Exodus 3. I am who I am. That was God proclaiming his divinity, saying, I am God. And Jesus says the same, ego, I may. I am the divine one. So he's saying, don't fear, because I am God. And the storm abates in his presence. They were amazed. He didn't rebuke the storm. His presence was enough, because this divine God, this Son of God, abates the storm, even without addressing it. You know, we see many instances where demons, for example, just know who Jesus is because he's there. And this storm knew that Jesus was there. This person, this Son of God, this Son of Man, who could make the storm stop just by being there. So Jesus is revealing himself here as the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity. There have been hints before, because Jesus started to speak about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom is not his like, the kingdom of God is like. And then he demonstrated what the kingdom was like. He healed people. He cast out demons. He fed 5,000 people. So he spoke about the principles. Then he practically demonstrates what goes on in his kingdom. So Jesus has been revealing slowly who he is, revealing slowly the fact that he is the Messiah, the Christ who's come to save us, the one that they were waiting for. You know, Jesus is still the one we're waiting for. You know, we've got a family of 2 daughters, 4 daughters and partners, and it goes on, doesn't it? Not one of them knows the Lord, not one of our family yet. They're still waiting. They don't know they're still waiting, but they're still waiting. You know, and we pray for them every day. And I'm sure some of you have got family who are in the same position. And we need to just keep on praying for the lost, the ones who don't even know that they need him. There's a lost world. And, you know, it's our duty. It's our privilege. It's our pleasure to pray for those who don't know Jesus and don't even know they're waiting for him. But the good thing is, Jesus is waiting for them. Jesus doesn't give up on them. You know, Jesus hadn't given up on my family. And he won't give up on them. And we won't give up on them either. So, get to know Jesus today if you don't know him now. I don't know if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, but please get to know him today. Because he's wonderful. And he's worth getting to know. So, were the disciples rejoicing and praising God? No, again, they weren't. They were amazed that Jesus walked on the water. They didn't get it. They didn't understand who Jesus was. Even when he said these words, and they would know those words, ego I may. Even then, the word says their hearts were hardened. That's a familiar phrase. We've heard that for so many weeks here, haven't we? In the passage we've read, people's hearts were hardened. It's made me question, I don't know about you, where is my heart today? Where is my heart tomorrow morning? Where will my heart be? Is it soft towards Jesus? Is it soft towards those around me? You know, in closing, it seems to me that Jesus was and still is the most misunderstood person who ever lived. As the Son of Man, that was a lonely place because they didn't understand him. Have you ever been in a situation where you're with people and you think, they haven't got it, what I'm talking about, they haven't got it, and you feel isolated? And Jesus must have found all the time that people didn't get it when he was speaking to them. So as a man, it must have been heartbreaking for him. As the Son of God, it must have been even more heartbreaking, because he knew he was going to, in a few weeks after this, a few months later, he was going to go to a cross and die for these people. And he was willing to do it. But it must have broken, his heart must have been broken, looking at a world which needed him and wanting them to come to him, knowing he could give them all they needed into eternity. So I think he must have been lonely and misunderstood. And he's still looking for people who will be in relationship with him. We don't want Jesus still to be lonely. He wants a relationship with us. So do we recognise Jesus as our Saviour, our Lord, the one who says in the storm, have faith, not fear. He's waiting, you know, to let us love him as he loves us. He's waiting to let him rescue us from those storms, to let him be alongside us at every moment. So from these passages, we learn that Jesus is in our boat, in the calm or the rough sea. But also, when he's not in the boat, he's still with us and he comes close. He sees our need. He doesn't pass us by. He comes alongside us. He's always alongside us. So my message today really is to understand who Jesus is. The Son of Man, the Son of God, both. And secondly, have faith, not fear. See the glory of God in those times when we're fearful. And don't be hard-hearted. Continue to worship this person of Jesus, this amazing Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Shall we just pray? Father, I just thank you that you sent Jesus to be our Saviour, to be our friend, to be the one who comes alongside us in all of our struggles, in our pains, who is there patiently with us, waiting for us to turn to him. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be softened towards Jesus and that we would acknowledge that you, Jesus, are in the boat with us at all times. You love us so much. Help us, Father, to have those softened hearts which reach out to those around us with the love of Jesus, the love Jesus showed to us and still shows to us. And we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the blessing of knowing you, Father God, knowing you, Jesus, and knowing you, Holy Spirit. So bless each one, I pray, as we take these words to heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.